No. That was just me being obnoxious. That wasn't any commentary on your. I actually is gonna not to. Yeah, I like your singing voice.
What?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
You getting fresh on me?
Little bit. Everyone, and welcome to episode 9 of One More Podcastle, the podcast that's all about castles and how we want more of them, but we would settle for just one more. My name is Eric Bailey. I am a living loophole and the editor-in-chief of onemorecastle.com.
Hi, I'm Eric Hunter. I'm the audio engineer, and I make hats.
My name is Jason Lamb, and I write about PC games, and I once destroyed a planet.
Did you destroy it with one of Eric Hunter's hats that he made you?
I did.
Boom. Number one customer. Darn.
Bam. Top hat.
You just got to have people look at it. That's how they explode.
Yeah.
Be like, oh, you just draw their attention to the top hat and be like, hey, look at my top hat.
Well, I'm glad we're not doing this via video feed then. You're a modern day Medusa over there.
I am.
We all are. Wait, wasn't Medusa a chick?
You're the one who said it. We're all Medusas.
Oh. I retract my last statement.
Well, good for you. That's really mature of you to be able to go back and think upon your actions and decide that you could have done better. That's really mature of you.
Retrospect.
That's what we deal with here. Speaking of retrospect, have you guys had any time to play any old video games lately?
I was actually going to pose a question.
Ooh.
When do you guys traditionally play your retro games? Like, what time of the day? Or do you have, just whenever you get free time? Or how does it work for you guys?
I guess for me, it could be before work, like in the morning, or it could be in an evening if it's on a night where I don't have anything else to do. Occasionally, a Saturday, if I'm not otherwise busy. So, yeah, trying to squeeze it in free time, I guess. No particular time.
Yeah, kind of just probably later at night or on my commute back and forth from work.
Okay, because I have like a schedule that I've got myself on now. Like, I'll wake up an hour early before work to play whatever I got plugged into my TV in the basement. And then when I come home right after dinner, so after dinner but before bed, I'm on my laptop playing emulators like all night. So like I'll play something like a little newer in the basement in the morning, like something on my GameCube or my Dreamcast or something like that. And then at night, I'll be playing, like NES games or Super NES games or something like that. Like, I've been doing that for almost 2 years now.
Cool. I can appreciate having a more rigid routine. Like, I think that would be healthy for me if I could get into that more. Because you can notice, like, I tend to focus on something and then I'll neglect something else. For instance, NintendoLegend.com will go 3 weeks without an update. And then 1 week, I'll review 6 games. So I think it would be actually good for me if I just said, okay, 2 nights a week, I'm going to play an NES game.
I was just curious.
Yeah, that's a good question, though.
I've been playing Beyond Good and Evil in the morning, which is a lot of fun. That game, it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of really cool aspects in the game. The story's really cool. I know it's not really a retro game, but then at night, I've re-harnessed my love for the handheld generation, and I've been playing massive amounts of Game Boy games. And the one that's really caught my attention was the Ultima series.
Ooh.
So I've been crushing through Ultima.
That is some old school RPG, like hardcore stuff.
Well, what's neat about it, I've always been a fan of Ultima. Like, always thought it was just the whole universe was intriguing, and then always liked the wording and the language that they used and stuff like that. But what's neat about the Game Boy RPG is it's kind of like it's not a turn-based. It's kind of like a real-time, maybe-ish. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Like, it's just, there's more platforming, puzzle-solving, adventuring than actual, okay, now I'm going to attack. Now I have to wait. Now you attack. Now I'm going to wait. I got to heal. Like that, after a while, that just drives me nuts because it's like, I mean, I like being able to set up exactly what I'm going to do. Like, okay, this person's going to attack. Then I got to take two turns for this person to make a jump. Then I'm going to heal the party with this person. And it's just, it gets to be too much after a while where it's just like, I just want to blow something up. I want something to die and I want to kill it now.
I want to play Contra.
Yeah, I want to play Contra or Bad Dudes.
Oh, yep.
Toe Jam and Earl. I don't know.
Double Dragon 2.
Double Dragon 2, The Revenge. Absolutely.
Oh, so good.
But yeah, so that's what I've been doing. Jason?
I started playing Hocus Pocus. Have either of you heard of Hocus Pocus?
Is it based off the movie?
It's not. It came out the year after, but it's actually not based on it. It's you're like this young wizard apprentice, and you're going through these kind of dungeons. It's a side-scrolling action platformer. I really loved it as a kid. Going back, the love isn't there.
So what's it for?
PC.
Oh, never mind.
I admit, though, the movie came to my mind, too, and I was actually afraid to ask, but I assume you'll be writing about this on the site then?
Yes, actually, that's the article I wrote for this week.
Oh, cool. So does that mean it's also going to be your selection for the Retro Showdown?
It's not. I switched it up. I thought I'd surprise you, Hunter.
Sons of bitches.
That's us. Or Jason.
Yeah, you're pretty chronic with it. It's whatever.
Yeah, so that's what I played. Hocus Pocus. I think I played the game as a kid before I realized I don't really like platforming games.
You don't like platforming games?
No.
Yeah,
I went there. I said it. I generally dislike the platforming genre.
Genuine dislike?
Yeah, like generally. There are some games I like, but a lot of them I don't.
But you like Super Mario Brothers, and you like Mega Man, and...
Oh, Mega Man was all right.
Mega Man was all right?
All right?
It wasn't great.
Are you serious?
Seriously.
What?
Have you played Mega Man? No, I'm not talking about the crappy PC DOS BS Mega Man. I'm talking about the legit Capcom Nintendo Entertainment System.
Masterfully executed, perfect level design, innovative boss design, fast-paced, adrenaline-pumping, challenging, platforming perfection is what we're talking about here.
And it's like nothing on any other console. There is no competition to Mega Man.
Ever.
You know what Mega Man series I played the most, actually? Mega Man Battle Network.
Are you serious?
Serious.
Oh, man.
Battle Network? Battle Network.
That wasn't even Mega Man. It was like, wasn't Mega Man like in the, like your Palm Pilot or something like that?
No, it was like a turn-based weird
Yeah, because RPG. You were fighting like viruses, weren't you?
Yeah.
I would have rather it said Mega Man 64 than Battle Network.
Battle Network. I think I played 3 to completion.
I think it just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Yeah. Platformers, I just don't really like them.
I'm gonna change my game for the Retro Showdown. Now. That's unbelievable. Okay, well, what's your take on it? Like, what really puts you off about the platforming, just genre and whole?
I really hate games that the majority of focus seems to be on collecting useless gems or coins that have
okay, I'm with you there. I hear
no
that.
Value whatsoever.
I okay. love games like that.
Oh, God, I hate those games.
Oh, okay. Now I have weird feelings about you both.
Yeah. Well, what's that have to do with a platforming game? I mean, you don't collect
a lot of platformers. You're just jumping around collecting coins or gems.
Well, but what?
A lot of that's for high score, though. That's a different aspect
of the
game.
Yeah, that's like the majority of the. That's like 50% of the game right there.
Yeah, well, but no, it's an unnecessary part of the game.
Exactly. Like, so half of the game is unnecessary.
Let me make a distinction, though, because I feel similarly about arcade style or like high score seeking games where you're just finding keys, climbing ladders, avoiding enemies. Old stuff like Mappy Land and Castle Quest. I would even say Donkey Kong is overrated. Like, I've said that. I've come out publicly said that. But I mean, like, side-scrolling, shoot-em-up type Contra, for instance.
Contra was fun.
Yeah.
Okay. I never got into Mega Man, never got into Metroid.
But, like, Mega Man? Like, what items do you collect in Mega Man?
I don't know. Just something about it just puts me off.
it's tough. I can understand maybe if it was like it's super hard, so it's frustrating. You don't want to put too much time into it. Maybe.
Maybe I just need to give it another chance.
Maybe there's hope for you, Jason Lamb.
No, Mega Man doesn't want to play with you anymore, Jason.
That's fine.
I guess maybe my distinction of that, like what you guys are referring to, is like the gotta collect it all kind of a game. Like the one that comes to mind big time would be like Banjo-Kazooie.
Oh, yes. Good example.
Like that is
overrated.
All about collecting every shitty thing that you could put on a screen.
That would murder me.
But see, to me, that is a huge difference between that kind of a game and a game like Mega Man or any other, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Because that part of, see, that was always one of the things with Mega Man 1 was because there was a high score that was keeping track, which means nothing because you have a point A to point B. It's not an arcade style game, but they put that high score in there just to, you know, rouse players of trying to make the transition over. It's not part of the game, it's just an added aspect. Does that make sense? Whereas in something like Banjo-Kazooie, that's, you have to do that. You have to collect all the jiggy pieces. You have to collect the Jinjos. Like, you have to collect all the music notes to progress through the game. Whereas in something like Mega Man, it was just an added bonus to have a high score to collect stuff.
Yeah.
And I love Banjo-Kazooie, by the way. One of my top 10 favorite games.
Okay, I will admit, I had Banjo-Kazooie, I played it, I enjoyed it, and I beat it, but I didn't beat it with full completion. I just collected just enough to get to the next area, beat that. And by the end of it, like, I could have gone back and like tried to collect everything, but I felt no desire just to go back and mindlessly, yeah, like you said, collect everything.
See, I don't even want to collect anything.
You just purely want to kill everything in sight. You just
not,
want to...
Not even kill everything? Like, which...
Some men just want to watch the world burn.
He just wants to shoot and make it to the end.
Have either of you played Psychonauts?
I have not.
I haven't played it. I'm familiar with it. I haven't played it.
There's a point in the game where you have to get this, going to describe it as a weapon. It removes cobwebs. And the only way to get this weapon is to pay for it with these arrowheads. And the only way to collect arrowheads is to literally go around and dig for them. And I got to a point in the game, it's like, oh, I can proceed. But no, I have to go back and find all these damn arrowheads, which really don't do anything for the game itself. It's just a useless quest that has me running around.
That does sound tedious.
Oh, it was awful.
I will say,
playing the
game. Oh, yeah. Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword. I like it. I defend it. I think it's a great game, even within the Zelda canon. But there's one little mini quest you have to complete to continue where this dragon has you collecting music notes of different colors. Purely for the reason that you have to collect them in order to proceed. Like, there's not even any attempt to make it practical. Like, you have to collect the missing item from the machine to make it work, to make the bridge open. It's purely just, hey, you could go ahead, but I'm going to make you collect all this stupid crap in a time limit first.
Yeah, see, and that's what I disagree with. Either you have your game where it's nothing but collecting a bunch of crap, or you just make it purely a side quest that has nothing to do. You don't need it at the end of the game. It does make the game easier, but if you don't want to go through the time and the hassle to do it, you don't have to worry about it. It's one or the other.
And we haven't even touched on devices like achievements or grinding in modern RPGs. This could be a whole nother interesting topic of conversation, I think. We're doing pretty good here.
Look what you did, Jason. Look what you did.
I'm sorry. I won't hate on
anything ever again.
Ever again.
Yeah. No more hate.
There's too much hate, you guys.
Save it for the retro showdown.
There's a lot of hate there. Hate's welcome there.
Yes, it's encouraged.
Bailey?
I actually haven't had any retro gameplay lately.
Who are you, me?
Okay, Jason?
I'm sorry, but I did make a list of games I want to play soon.
What's your top three?
Well, it's a list of 24. I narrowed it down to like a top. But I'd like to finish Dragon Warrior 2. I'd like to play some Joust. These are all NES games for NintendoLegend.com, but the highest of a score I can get on Joust. And maybe Solar Jetman. There's my top three right there. So when I actually get to playing them, I will let you guys know. You guys ready for a discussion question?
I am.
Another question?
Just one.
All right.
Well, I was just wondering, hey... what should we do with this podcast email address we have?
We have a podcast email address?
It turns out that listeners, if they wanted to, could send email to podcast@onemorecastle.com.
Jason, do you have an email address?
I have my own personal email address.
I don't have an email address.
This can be our collective podcast email address.
Oh.
Cool. So, listeners, we're making it an announcement on this episode. If you want to email us, you can. podcast@onemorecastle.com. So how should we use that, guys?
How about discussion questions?
Yeah, because you guys are probably sick of me coming up with them, right? Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. See, look at that. So, listeners, first of all, we need you to tell us what questions you want to hear us discuss on the podcast. And don't get me wrong, if we get 100 emails, I can't guarantee that we'll use all of your questions, but I'm sure we can pick the best one and maybe do 2 or 3 if they're quick things like your favorite this or the best that. I think that's a good idea.
I think that's a great idea.
It's a fantastic idea.
Wonderful. And don't be shy if you just have any feedback related to the podcast or any comments in general, or if you have any questions that you want to ask us in a private forum but don't necessarily want us to air, we will begin checking that regularly, and I will even try to respond. Again, I can't guarantee to every one of them if we get inundated, but I look forward to seeing if we're going to get like 0 emails or 1,000. So this will be fun, I think.
Well, I'm going to email you, just so you know.
Awesome.
God, you don't like Mega Man. It's so weird.
Yeah.
That's going to bother me all week now, because I'm going to have to figure out why. Like, I'll have to go back and play 1 through 7, and then X1, and X2, and X3.
And then Battle Network.
And no. No.
Nothing against Battle Work, but I might have to play some Mega Man 2 tonight out of spite, just for you, Jason.
That's all right.
I'll tell you what, I'm glad you brought this up. I made a comment on the glitch article on onemorecastle.com, and I had mentioned tool-assisted speedruns. Bailey, and I guess Jason, if you want to... Well, I guess everybody in the audience. If you want to see one of the coolest glitch-tastic tool-assisted speedruns, it's definitely Mega Man 2. Because there's... When he does the Woodman stage, he drops... He's not even dropped down onto the level yet, and he's at the boss. It's sick. Like, I lost my marbles when I saw that.
For those of you who don't know out there, tool-assisted speedruns are attempts by players using ROM files on emulators to frame by frame manipulate gameplay in an optimized fashion that completes the game quicker and to a higher quality, much more than would be possible by a human player, often resulting in some spectacular videos. I believe the primary source for them is tasvideos.org, and I'm confirming, yes, that is correct. So I don't know if Hunter knows this, but I actually really like tool-assisted speedruns as well. So definitely check that out if you've never heard of the concept. You might have just found the coolest new thing on the internet, and you're going to waste a lot of hours watching some awesome stuff.
And it's 100% legal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, watching them is. I don't know if I'm watching them.
Watching them is legal. Absolutely.
Yeah, don't feel bad about watching the tool-assisted speedruns. You're okay.
Tell people that you're watching them.
Okay, well. It sounds like we pretty quickly came to a good conclusion on how to use the podcast email address. You guys have any more thoughts on that?
Email us.
Yeah. Email me.
Yeah, specifically address Eric Hunter and complain about his crazy choices every week.
Hey, you love my choices because you guys got to look them up to even know what game I'm talking about.
That's not true.
Oh,
all
yeah?
The time.
What, Super Bomberman? That was it?
Super Bomberman, Beavis and Butthead, Trog. Yeah, that's right. I've played those games.
Just not out in public, right? You don't want people to see you.
Oh, not Beavis and Butthead, that's for sure.
Oh, man, I played it today. It's a blast. It's a great adventure game.
I don't even want to hear about it anymore, so I'm going to cut you off right there, and we're going to take a musical interlude break.
Good. We'll be right back.
And we're back. Hope you enjoyed that. That was Super Metroid versus Masochus, Lower Brinstar by Masochus. And Masochus, I apologize if I'm saying your name wrong. Listeners, it's spelled M-A-S-I-K-U-S, so it could be Masochus, for instance. I hope he can correct me on Twitter, and I will say it correctly next time. But all in all, it's a solid atmospheric vibe remix of one of the better tracks from Super Metroid. But right now it's time for the main event, the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
Two episodes ago, we had our special Halloween episode where we all picked a scary game. That was when Jason was in Cuba and Andrew was subbing in. We had our closest vote ever, guys. Closest ever. And by one vote, Andrew was the winner with Silent Hill.
Yes.
So we won over Poltergeist and over Monster Party. But it was only one vote more than second place and only two votes more than third place, my game. So that was close. Thank you, listeners, for making that an exciting ballot, more exciting than the American presidential election, even, I would say. Maybe I'm alone in that, but I went there. Moving on.
So alone.
I'm just happy to have our regular trio back and back in the rhythm of consecutive episodes together, because Jason, you are such a good timekeeper.
Thank you.
You got 2 minutes for me?
I've got 2 minutes.
Because I am ready.
You may begin.
Tonight, I reached back to a game I played a moderate amount of growing up. It's a 1992 release on many platforms. I had the Sega Genesis version. It's a brilliant concept. It's called Monopoly. It takes the form of a board game, and it's kind of like a financial simulator revolving around property ownership. And it's really interesting because there's some tactical depth there to the decisions you make over what properties to buy and keep. But there's randomization because it's a board game. There's dice rolling used. And it's really fun. There's an old-timey theme throughout. Like, there's a mascot with a top hat and a cane. And you can be a token that's like a wheelbarrow or a old car or a thimble. And the music's fun. There's some decent sound effects. And I think McDonald's has actually been doing a version of this for their giveaway lately, like the Monopoly game at McDonald's. But I totally prefer the video game version, of course. You can play up to 8 players, and the goal of the game is to bankrupt your opponents, because everyone starts out with a certain amount of money, and when you land on property spaces, you can buy them. Then if someone else lands on it, they have to pay you rent. But there's whole nother levels of complexities introduced through chance cards that have crazy effects, and special spaces that do other things as well, along with some of the properties working differently. There are very expensive properties, very cheap ones. You can add houses on them, even more expensive. And overall, I would just say that it's an excellent multiplayer experience, and making it a board game video game is just a neat idea.
Hunter, do you want me to cue you up?
Yeah, cue me up.
All right, you may begin.
For tonight, I chose Trip World for the original Game Boy. It was released in 1992 by Sunsoft in Japan and Europe, but never to the States. Not as yet, anyway. Trip World revolves around a small rabbit-like creature that goes by the name of Yakapoo, which I'm sure I mispronounced, who goes on the quest of retrieving the Flower of Peace so that peace may be restored to his world. You play as Yakapoo, who has the ability to kick his enemies and transform to match his environment. He's able to transform into a fish while in water for faster swimming, or his ears can elongate to become wings so that you may fly around. The backgrounds are amazingly detailed, even with the original Game Boy's strict, strict color palette. The boss battles are fun, providing unique patterns to overcome to carry on to the next level. Trip World is just a fun platformer, and Yakapoo's uber cute. Trip World. Trip World!
All right. I guess I'll begin. The game I chose this week is the MS-DOS game Catacomb 3D, released by ID Software. It is one of the first games to feature 3D computer graphics. The game is actually running on the Wolfenstein 3D engine, or I should say what became the Wolfenstein 3D engine as the game was released the year before. It introduced such things as showing the character's hand as they fired their weapons, and you basically navigate your way around a catacomb, fighting off monsters by shooting magic spells at them. The game really is a predecessor to Wolfenstein and Doom. A lot of the character designs from the game were lifted and put into Doom, and overall it's a great little first-person shooter which everyone should play.
Never even heard of that.
Catacomb 3D.
Well, Jason clearly wins because the introduction of seeing your hand on the screen is super important and a hallmark of the best games today. Am I right, guys?
Yo, quiet Monopoly.
See, that's what always killed me about these games. These games aren't 3D.
They're 3D. They're pseudo 3D.
Then it should be called Catacomb Pseudo 3D.
Well, your game should just be called Kirby's Adventure Ripoff. So
yeah, I was going to say, I'm watching the video and it's Kirby.
It's a lot of fun. It's not Kirby.
He's a little ball which transforms into things.
He's like a rabbit.
Okay,
the
he's
first
a ball with
world
ears.
Is a direct ripoff of the Wispy Woods environment. Like it's Kirby.
It's a fun platformer game. It's could even be considered like a hidden gem for the Game Boy.
If you get to make fun of other people for having ripoffs, we get to rip you a new one this time for it, Hunter.
Is there
Screw
nudity
you.
In this game?
Which game?
Catacomb 3D has nudity?
That's rated mature. I wouldn't doubt it. Well, even better. Nudity.
That's not right.
Even better. Nudity. That's a contender for episode title right there. Yep.
Coloring's all weird. That's one of the things that you see with all these DOS games from back then. It's like color 91. Palettes are... Yeah, back in the day.
It does kind of look like the graphic artists were used to CGA palettes.
Yeah.
And didn't fully convert it. It does look like that.
And all the shadows are really weird. And this is
using EGA graphics.
This is a very ugly game.
The characters' faces are the same colors as the walls. Not always, but...
Trip World's black and white.
Well, yeah, it was on the Game Boy. What'd you expect it to be?
Yeah, the
black and white is still
expect
worse than color.
Be.
Yeah.
Not when it looks like this color. This color's ugh.
Hey, Kirby ripoff.
It's like I threw up on the screen.
Kirby ripoff. I'm just so glad that my game is colorful and charming.
God, it's
so glad.
It's not a game. Monopoly. It's a board game.
It's like a double game. It's a board game, video game. It's doubly a game. It's super a game. It's so much of a game. It's outgaming your attempt at a game.
That's a lot of game references right there.
Yeah.
I know, it's almost obnoxious. It's how much of a game it is.
No, that's exactly what it is. It's obnoxious.
Yeah, it's obnoxious.
And it's riddled with glitches.
Yeah, weren't you just earlier saying how much you liked glitches?
No, glitches that destroy this game. Like,
your name just changed from Eric Hunter to Eric Hypocriter.
Hypocriter? Now we're making up words?
Yeah, I have to really stretch the boundaries of the English language to describe you nowadays and your logic. Hypocriter.
It's a board game.
See, it's a board game.
It's a video game.
This is less of a game than when you chose...
You Don't Know Jack?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
It is.
Aw.
It's even sadder, actually.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Check this out. What? Talk about a game that cripples. You can't even play it. Boom.
No. There's a link here. He's linking us to something. Let's see. Now, see, yeah, Monopoly is a popular video game franchise. There's a lot of Monopoly video games out there.
Yeah,
you're
because it's super overdone.
Yeah, why should I go out and buy Monopoly, the video game, for, let's say, this retail, new, for, what, $50, $60?
When you can get the board game for, what, $10?
Yeah.
I mean, the only reason I would think that Bailey would prefer the video game over the actual board game is because he doesn't have anybody to play with.
Bam.
Well, it's true. I mean, I'm not going to deny that. The biggest advantage of the video game is you can play against 7 computer opponents if you want to. Booyah. What now? What's your next question? I'm ready.
I'm still waiting for the answer to the first one.
What was the first question?
Oh, these graphics. I just can't get over it. It's just...
What, Catacomb?
Ugh.
Hey, graphics don't make a game. Gameplay does.
Well, and I understand that. And that's...
That's what makes Monopoly so great. The gameplay.
Yeah, it's because the board game's like 80 years old. How could you screw that up?
What are you guys talking about? It's a video game.
It's a board game. No, it's not. It's a board game.
It's a board game.
It's a board game video game, but it's a video game.
It's a board game.
It's the video game.
Did Catacomb have like a map feature where you could see where you're going?
It's a good question.
Oh, you know, no map feature for a first person
shooter.
I'm
looking it up.
I would get lost, and that would be annoying, and I wouldn't like it. Just saying.
Terrible.
Man, good job on that one, Hunter. Theoretical high five.
Did you say theoretical high five?
Well, I'm not sitting next to the guy, you know.
You can give me an over the air.
An air five?
Sure.
All right, there you
go. Just give me a five, Bailey. Just do it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not even a 3D game.
It's a 2D game in a 3D environment.
That's not a 3D game.
That's a 3D game. No. Doom uses the same technology.
I agree. Also not a 3D game, but 3D is not in the title.
Wolfenstein uses the exact same technology.
Does it come with like 3D glasses at least and do that red and blue line trick to make it 3D?
Yeah, because that was awesome.
Yeah, that made every game better.
No, but really, did it?
No, I don't know.
I just don't know. Oh, and it came on a floppy disk?
Dude, it's 1992.
I thought you said no, it doesn't matter. And it's 91, by the way. It's 91.
Oh, I apologize. It's 91.
Man, you don't know the year of your game. You don't know if it came with 3D glasses. You don't know if it has a
didn't come with 3D glasses.
Do you know anything about your game, Jason?
Yeah,
did you just
I know it's better than Monopoly and the Kirby ripoff.
That's not better than Trip World. Trip World is beautiful.
God, you mean
that's a great looking game.
Not only is Trip World a ripoff of Kirby, it's a miniature version of the other publisher's game. Gimmick.
Yeah? You're telling me that your game's not a ripoff of other games? Really? You want to play
other
that?
Games?
You want to
Wolfenstein,
you play?
Which came out after it?
No, obviously not.
Name a game.
Okay. Id Software used texture mapping for Catacomb 3D was influenced, or rather stolen, from Ultima Underworld. Wow, they even got in some trouble over it because it was so rip-off-ish.
Oh, snap.
They stole stuff from a book? Who reads books? Oh, I forgot. This is 91.
All right.
Masters of Doom. That's not good.
Hey, fun fact, if Catacomb 3D is in 3D, then Monopoly is just as much in 3D. Isn't that cool?
And so is Trip World. That's weird.
No, it's not. It's on Game Boy.
It's on Game Boy. It's
Game
on
Boy
3D.
Had 3D games.
No, it didn't.
Yes, it did.
You're lying out of your mouth.
I have no other way to lie. Face, or whatever it was called.
Face.
Yeah. It was a 3D game. It was the very first 3D game ever made. You
that
want to talk about it?
No.
Yeah, it's no. Faceball or whatever the...
You don't even know the name of the game.
It's been a while.
Faceball.
What is it?
You sure you're not confusing that with baseball and confusing Game Boy with real life? Because that would be three-dimensional if you played
that
baseball.
That would be three-dimensional. That would also be a game.
Unlike Monopoly, which is a board game.
Monopoly is a game. How can you say that it's a video game?
Rich Uncle Pennybags.
I can speak from personal experience. I put the cartridge in the console. I played it with a controller on my television. It is a video game.
No.
Yes.
It's a board game.
It's a board game video game. You
There's
can't
no
deny
such
it's a
thing.
Video game.
There's no
there
such
is.
Thing.
It's Monopoly. It's called Monopoly. It's so good. You guys would like it.
No such thing. I've played Monopoly, the board game. It's awesome.
It is.
One of the best things about playing the physical board game is you can have house rules. You can't have house rules on a video game.
Yes, you can. There's actually a surprising amount of depth in the settings you can alter.
And later
like
versions.
Like I said, I'm ready for these accusations. I have an answer for everything. I mean, you're not going to find a fault with Monopoly. It is a good game.
Board game, I agree.
It's a great board game.
It's an excellent board game.
A video game, not the board game. The video game.
The hell is the name of that game?
Monopoly. It's called Monopoly.
No. Maze War. That's what it was.
Maze War.
Yeah.
That's
they made
a different from what you were trying to say.
No, the Game Boy version of the game, they called it Face something. Faceball or what?
Maze War from 1985?
Yeah. The hell did they call it? It was something. Faceball 2000 or
Faceball 2000. Sounds
horrible. No, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Yeah.
You have no idea what I'm talking about, Mr. I Pick Board Games.
You're not even trying to back
that's,
up.
I was right. Faceball 2000. That's what it was called.
Faceball 2000.
It was the very first-person shooter for the Game Boy. Faceball 2000.
But it's still not 3D.
Boom! Yeah. It's as 3D as Trip World is.
Which isn't 3D.
And it's as 3D as Catacombs 3D, which isn't 3D.
Oh, no. Faceball's 3D.
What?
Faceball's 3D.
And Catacombs isn't.
Catacombs is 3D. Monopoly's not 3D.
The cartridge exists in three dimensions. The game is 3D. I know that's kind of a semantic kind of a thing, but
that's insane. No, it's not semantic. It's bullshit.
Yeah, you got me there.
Talk about semantics. No, it's... Why did you pick a board game? Come on,
it's
man.
A video game.
This is episode 9. No more mods. No more board games.
Oh,
don't
oh, mods
you learn?
Game.
No, it's
oh,
not.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Okay, this from the guy who thinks Mega Man sucks. Really?
Yeah.
That's true. That's
unbelievable.
That's true.
Mega Man.
At least my game appeals to the widest, grandest audience.
I mean,
who?
Hunter says some pretty stupid things, but saying Mega Man sucks, that's, I can't, I...
Wait, I say stupid things?
I mean, that's like, I...
That's like picking a board game.
I don't, I...
Maybe if
I
you...
If I...
Try it again with...
Man, I tell ya, I...
Baseball 2000.
Shoo.
Yakapoo. Like how cool of a name is that? He's just a cute little cuddly creature.
Okay, that's...
Like Kirby. Yeah.
Like Kirby.
Kirby's not cuddly.
But
I mean, let's be honest here.
What is this guy's name? Yakka what?
Yakapoo. It's probably not right, but that's the American in me. It says that it's Yakapoo. Yakapoo.
It's a Kirby ripoff.
I can't even remember the name of your game.
It's
that unmemorable.
It's an excellent platformer. Trip.
What was it called?
Trip World?
Trip World.
Yeah.
Sunsoft based it on Kirby's Dream Land, which was released a couple years prior. I mean, it's a blatant, Nintendo was successful doing that, so we're going to make our own little... Let's give them ears. There we are. Boom. Let's not call them Kirby. Let's call them Yakapoo. Okay, great. Sell it.
Never released in the States.
It's on the 3DS Game Shop now.
Really?
Oh, did it get released? Okay.
Yeah, it got released.
Huh.
You know why I don't know about that? It's because no one bought it.
Oh, and by the way, Kirby's Adventure... I'm sorry, Bailey.
Kirby's Dream Land is what it...
Oh, so you're changing your argument again?
No. I said both at one point, but the first time I refuted your point, I did say Kirby's Dream Land correctly. Definitely.
Gosh, I probably should have just picked a board game. Oh, wait.
Guys, I didn't pick a board game. I picked the video game, the Sega Genesis video game called Monopoly. It just happens to be in board game format, but it's definitely a video game. And if that's going to be the only point you have, at this point, we are just boring our listeners with going over this again and again.
And by the way, Kirby's Dream Land came out after, not a ripoff.
Really?
Yeah.
No way. No way. Really?
Do your research next time, Bailey.
I guess
you're making this up.
You just got juggernauted. That'll never take off. That's just too many syllables.
No, it didn't. Kirby's Dream Land came out in mid to late 1992. Trip World was 93.
No.
Do you not know how numbers work?
92 is when Trip World came out.
What's your source?
The same source that we use for everything. The Book of Knowledge. Are you kidding me?
No. Because I'm actually going to a video game website and not one that Jason can go in and alter at his whim. Or that you could.
What?
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
I don't have to do that. My game's good.
It's not. It's not.
Trip World. Not a Kirby ripoff.
Let me guess. You have to go around collecting items?
Nope.
Jason would take it.
You enjoy the adventure and the story that is Trip World.
What's the story? What am I doing?
You are off on a quest to get the Flower of Peace so that you could return your world from its dismay to peace. Yakapoo.
Oh, by the way, you're wrong about Trip World.
I am not.
You are. Kirby's Dream Land was released April 27th, 1992. Trip World, November 27th, 1992.
Okay, so the game came out a couple of months after, but it was in production at the exact same time that Kirby's Dream Land was.
I don't know about that.
There's no way it could be. You can't rip a game off in 3 or 4 months.
Isn't that what
concept?
Wait. Isn't that the argument used against me with Catacomb ripping out off Ultima, which was in production at the exact same time?
Ooh, that is a juicy point.
And the book,
Bam.
Masters of Doom, that came out years before the game came out? Yes, that's my argument.
Wait, you say Masters of Doom came out before the game?
Yeah, the book.
What?
Book? What?
Your game is a ripoff of a book called Masters of Doom that was released years prior, before your crappy, not 3D game came out.
Masters of Doom is subtitled How Two Guys Created an Empire and Transformed Pop Culture, and it was by David Kushner and released in 2003 by Random House.
It's not that Masters of Doom.
Oh, it's a different Masters of Doom?
Yes, you're telling me you can't name something the same name as something else? Something?
At least Jason knows how numbers work.
I think you're talking out of your ass.
I love how numbers work.
And I like the ISBN?
And I could not talk out of my ass if I wanted to. I've tried.
Masters of Doom. If there's an audiobook as well, if you want.
No, I'm good.
I'm just suspicious, Hunter, that you seem to not be able to make a cogent point beyond pointing out that a game is a ripoff of something. Can you actually, like, find a flaw in my game, for example, other than it being a board game video game?
It's a board game?
It's not, though. It's a video game. So what else you got?
It's way crappier than Trip World.
That's not true.
I disagree.
Lame.
Yeah, this from the guy who takes syntax to the absolute end to make an argument.
That's my thing.
No, you said, I'm going to take these three words that you said 20 minutes apart. Nope, that's what you said. Writing it down.
I think that's funny to point out the hypocritical things you say. I think it's hilarious. Maybe you don't like it, but I understand that. I mean, no one likes to have hypocrisy pointed out.
I love it.
Well, okay. Jason, what do you love?
Not Trip World.
You don't have to love it. It loves you. That's what's so cute and cuddly about the game.
It doesn't. Oh, this is so, you know what?
Flower, he's cute and cuddly. I mean, what is this?
I'll take Monopoly over Trip World.
Whoa!
I'll take that. I don't need to hear another word from Jason. I'm good.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Listeners,
Trip
you
World
heard
is
it.
Sad.
That's
it's so sad. Oh, I'm so happy right now. Thank you, guys. This is a good showdown. Listeners, I can't wait to see how you vote.
Nobody's going to pick a board game.
But they can pick a video game. There's not going to be a board game on the ballot.
There's not going to be a board game on the ballot.
There's not. All right. So, Jason, closing arguments. Why should people pick your game, Catacomb 3D?
They should pick my game because it is literally the predecessor to both Wolfenstein 3D and Doom. And it doesn't have a little bunny Kirby ripoff.
Very nice. Hunter, why should people pick Trip World? What's your closing argument?
Trip World is a fun platformer. It's beautifully detailed backgrounds. And you can't rip off a game that was in the exact same production time. Trip World.
All right. And as for Monopoly, it's charming, it's fun, it's multiplayer. It has a good mix of random elements, but also tactical choice. And there's a lot of good replay value. No two games are the same. And you can get second place in a beauty contest and collect $50.
That's not right. It's 10, isn't it?
It's like 100 or 50 or something.
No.
It's a number.
It's a number.
It's a number. All right, well, that is the Retro Showdown. I'm looking forward to how the voting goes in this one. Let's do some quick shout-outs. Ben Landis, thanks for letting us use your intro and outro tracks. We like you out there. Listeners, check him out on Twitter at TheBenLandis. Thanks also to Masicus for Super Metroid versus Masicus Lower Brinstar track we use at the interlude. I like that one. It's a good Super Metroid piece. Also, a shout-out to Andrew Carrero, our technical editor for WarmerCastle.com, for his fantastic work on the video he made for Episode 8. If you have not seen it, he didn't just put a YouTube background up for 45 minutes while the episode plays on the audio. No. There's like funny animations and stuff and gameplay clips, and it's actually genuinely a really good piece of multimedia work. So check that out, guys. And lastly, keep checking out onemorecastle.com. You can follow us on Twitter at onemorecastle and on facebook.com/onemorecastle. Jason, do you have any shout-outs for tonight?
You can follow me at Jason Lamb on Twitter. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Cool. Hunter, do you have any plugs?
You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Hunter, and my blog is ericmhunter.net.
Excellent. And listeners, please vote. I know some of you listen to this on your commute to work. That doesn't mean you can't check back on the website page to vote afterward when you hear the episode. Also, remember, you can email us at podcast@onemorecastle.com. podcast@1morecastle.com. And finally, listeners, remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week.